Thank you, choir. And thank you, Jamie, for your testimony. You are a great speaker, by the way. I don't want to hear any more of this. You can't speak in public. That was wonderful. And certainly the message was great, too. We are continuing in a series on Christian giving. This morning we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You'll find it in your pew Bibles on page 1146. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. As you're turning next week, as you read in the back of your bulletin, the youth are going on a ski trip to West Virginia, and I'm going to join them, and Steve Couch is going to chaperone for all of us, so I'm going to enjoy it. Where are you, Steve? Steve Couch. So this coming Sunday, we were able to book John Saunders, the director of missions for the Yates Baptist Association. So he works with a lot of Baptist churches around this area. Some of them big churches, some of them small churches, but all of these churches, including Mount Hermon, we partner together in an association, and we pool our resources so that we can do things together that we couldn't do separately. One of them being financing a missions endeavor in Guatemala, where Roger and Vicky Grossman, who spoke here about a year ago, told us about, and they're doing a lot of construction. And maybe y'all would consider traveling to Guatemala, and we can help them as they do various things. So some of the gifts that you give to Mount Hermon, we give as gifts to the Yates Association, who in turn give to different missionaries and mission endeavors, both here in the Yates Association area and also around the world. So he will be speaking next Sunday, and it will be a treat. So we have been going through a series on Christian giving. The first week, if you remember, we talked about a giving God and how central to the character of God is his generous giving. In this first slide that I have, it will show all that we talked about that one Sunday of what God gives. Not an exhaustive list by far, but many things in Scripture of what God gives. And in the end, we read that God has given Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Why would we ever doubt that he would give us all things, according to Romans? And then the following week, we talked about how because central to the character of God is giving, God creates a people that are a giving people. And I mentioned several reasons why we give. We give in response to God's giving. God continually and eternally gives to us, and so we respond in continual and eternal giving. It is an act of discipleship, following in the footsteps of Christ. We don't understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ until we start walking the path and doing what Christ has called us to do, namely giving, among many other things. It is more blessed to give than to receive. God promises that as we give, we will be given in return. Not necessarily monetary return, though sometimes it can be, but definitely blessings that are often even better than monetary blessings. Giving is an antidote for greed and gluttony and fear and many other sins and idols in our lives. We give in response so that we are not tied down by these idols. And giving is an act of worship. So many Christians, even pastors, see giving as merely a necessity in this world because churches have bills. But that is not the reason we Christians give. The minister of the chapel at Harvard University for many years was Peter Gomes. He passed away last year. He was a friend of mine and a friend of the many evangelical Christian groups where the administration tried to kick us off the campus. Peter Gomes would stand up and speak on our behalf. And the university would listen because, well, Peter Gomes was often considered one of the greatest preachers of our day. And he had a great following. He grew up in a Baptist home and continued to practice his Baptist traditions on the campus of Harvard, a great blessing for many of us who passed under him. He writes in one of his most famous books, The Good Book, about giving. He's African-American, by the way. He writes, "White people who visit black churches are often surprised and not a little shocked at the number of offerings given and with the fine art of encouraging people to generosity. It takes some time to realize that the giving of money is not a necessary condition to the material needs of the people of God, but rather it is the central drama in the act of worship." Peter Gomes is saying, we don't give because we have bills, but we give because it is central to who we are as Christians when we come and worship God. And that's why we give in smack dab in the middle of our service. It is an act of worship. We put our money where our mouth is, in a matter of speaking. Well, last week we talked about how there are no rules or commands to giving in the New Testament. It is an act of free worship. The NT right here never commands us to tithe, the New Testament. Yes, the New Testament talks about tithing in several passages, Hebrews 7, Matthew 23. You can look at those when you have time. But it always speaks with respect to the Mosaic Covenant, looking back on what things were before Christ. But now Christians are free to give like Christ has given to us. Now, some Christians still endorse tithing, and I think it is a great place to start for many of us. But it's not a place to end. Our place, our end, is Jesus Christ, the one who gives us all things. We call ourselves disciples of Christ, not because it's a beautiful sounding title to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, but because we have given our lives to follow Jesus and his example. And his example is to give his very self. So we give our very selves. And we see examples throughout Scripture of people giving in extraordinary ways. The Macedonian church is one example we'll read this morning. The widow with her two copper coins coming to the offering and giving all that she has. And Jesus remarks about her, not the rich people who give out of their wealth, but the widow who gives out of her poverty. 10% or tithe might cover a church budget, but our vision is much bigger than that. We want to not cover a budget, but cover the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does a nation give, send 10% of their army to fight a threat? Does a firefighter give 10% of his energy to save a child from a burning building? does the church give 10% to change the world? The problem I see in the church is not that we're asking too much, but that we're asking too little. The world is unimpressed with the church because the world's giving habits are about the same as those who are so-called transformed by the creator of the universe to be the people of God. The world will take note of the church in as much as we take note of our God. How do we take note of our God? Well, we take note of our God through our discipleship, as I've been saying. We put money into things that we really care for. And what does the New Testament say with respect to giving? That we give in keeping to our income. Whether we have little income or we have much income. I remember hearing a story of a man who he gave so much that the IRS came a knocking. They did not believe that he had given so much of his income away. And they didn't believe it until the third year when he kept on giving. And they finally realized, yes, this is an odd sort of fellow. He calls himself a Christian, and he gives so much away. We have taken note of him. The world has taken note of him. And maybe that is a goal that we can have this coming 2012, that we give so much that the world takes note of us, the IRS takes note of us. I gave a couple challenges for us in 2012, for myself as well. One is that we would live simply, because generous giving is often tied to simple living. To go into your home, into your room, and find something that you don't need, that you can live without. Give it away, sell it, and give to the poor. The Salvation Army is right around the corner. Goodwill, OCIM, many organizations that can help you live more simply. And secondly, to increase your giving, to generously give and beat whatever you gave in 2011, and go and continue on that course that the goal is Christ. If you gave 10%, give 20%, 20%, 30%. If you gave one copper coin, then trust God and give two copper coins. The great thing about these challenges is that I'm not adding something to your already busy schedule. I'm trying to take it away. So of all of these New Year's resolutions, this should be the simplest. Maybe not the easiest, but the simplest. So many of y'all might have asked, well, okay, I want to do it, but how do I give faithfully as Christians? Well, this is the topic of this morning's sermon, and we're going to read together 2 Corinthians 8, starting at verse 1. Again, this is Paul speaking to a very wealthy church about some very poor churches in Macedonia. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded for us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work that you, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. The word of God for the people of God. How do you get an elephant into a refrigerator? Well, you open the door, you put it in, and you close the door. Right? That's how I do it. So how do you get a giraffe into a refrigerator? Anyone? What? That's for sure. You got to bend the neck a little, but yeah. So you open the door, you take the elephant out, you put the giraffe in, and then you close the door. That's how you get a giraffe in. Yeah. So how do you kill a blue elephant? With a blue elephant gun. That's how you do it. How do you shoot a pink elephant? Pink elephants don't exist. You should know that. How do you shoot a red elephant? You hold its trunk till it turns blue, and then you shoot it with a blue elephant gun. And how do you shoot a purple elephant? You got me. No, you paint an elephant red, you hold its nose until it turns blue, and then you shoot it with the blue elephant gun. That's how you do it. So, oh, these are all how questions, of course. How? We go around life looking for the answers to so many how questions, right? There's TV networks that are just about how, right? How do you build this in your home? How do you cook souffle? How? The Congress and the president were trying to answer the question, how do you stop internet online piracy, people taking the property of others and distributing it without the rights? And so they came up with these bills called SOPA and PIPA, and the internet went crazy. They said, no, this is not how you do it. So Wikipedia shut down for a day, and Amazon and other online companies, they fought against it, and they continue to fight against it. And then Congress opened their ears, and they realized, oh, wait, this is not the right way of doing it. They still continue to find the how of preventing online piracy. And sometimes how is the hardest question to ask and to find the answer to. Here in this church, we are crafting a vision for what this church is to be in Orange County. And sometimes it is harder to think of, well, how are we going to get there than who we really are. Well, today I have some good news. We're going to talk about the how of giving, but it is easy it's very easy compared to the what of giving and the actual decision of giving. We're going to talk about several principles in the Bible about how we give faithfully as Christians. And the first one is that we give freely. We give freely. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9. It is just the chapter right after the chapter we read. This whole section is about giving. And I encourage you to read chapter 8, 9, and it continues in various parts until the end of the letter to the Corinthians. But 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, which you may have read during the offertory time, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This verse talks about how we are to give freely, not under compulsion. The New Testament never commands us to give a certain amount. What's more, it warns us not to impose any commands. That's why Mount Hermon Baptist Church does not have a church tax, where if you want to join the church, you have to pay 10%, 15%, or whatnot. We as a country, America, used to have a church tax before the separation of church and state, but people, many Christians said, no, our giving is free giving. We freely give. And many of those Christians were Baptists during the time of Thomas Jefferson. We give freely. Certainly, we want to compel one another to give. I'm compelling you to give this morning, to walk the path of Christ. We are to give. But as for the amount, that is for you to decide with Jesus. Perhaps you can only begin with a certain small amount, but that is fine. As you simplify your life, your budget, and you trust Jesus more, you'll be able to give more, just like all of us. We freely give. Secondly, we cheerfully give. And we saw that in this passage too. God loves a cheerful giver. How many of y'all are excited to write checks to pay for your phone bill? How many of y'all? So excited. None of y'all? Not one person. Wow. Well, you know, the great thing about giving to either a church or a Christian organization is that we can be invested in the vision of these organizations. It's not like like many phone companies that look for a bottom line of profit. No, we're looking to change people's lives. We're looking to change the world. We serve a higher calling. Mount Hermon Baptist Church participates in this higher calling. That's why we give to Mount Hermon. Other organizations, Christian organizations, they participate in this higher calling. That's why we give to them. OCIM, one example, they have a higher calling than what to make money or to fill a budget. No, they're out to change this community for Christ. And so we can cheerfully give. And this is what God calls us to do. Thirdly, we give proportionally. And we've seen this in the passages in the past and this morning in 2 Corinthians 8:12. We give according to our prosperity, and we give for others' needs. We also read it in 1 Corinthians 16. Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Throughout Scripture, we see people giving according to their prosperity. Rich people like Barnabas, they sell tracts of land and they just give it all to the poor. Poor people, well, they give what they can, but they know that they will be sustained by the church and by their God. And so we give proportionally. We also give regularly, as 1 Corinthians 16 says. The older you get, the more you value the blessings of being regular. When it comes to Christian giving, being regular is training for virtue. Who benefits more? The person who walks 30 minutes every morning, or the person who runs 20 miles once a year? Many of y'all have stayed healthy because you know the value of regularly exercising, right? I go with Larsini every so often to Northgate, and we walk 30 minutes, 45 minutes or so. Now, what if Larsini would just stop that habit and once a year go running for 20 miles? Would she be healthier? No, I don't think so. I think what she's got going now is pretty good. And many of other in the church, we understand the value of doing something regularly, habitually, because it trains you to become something different, right? And our giving, as we give regularly, we train ourselves to be something different, someone like Jesus Christ. We do the same thing with most every other virtue. And when we don't do it 1 week or 1 month, we feel a little off because it's because we're being formed into something different. If one of you gets sick and are unable to come to church that Sunday, I often hear, the week was just not the same, right? It's because you're being formed in this new creation, and Jesus is forming you in this way through your habits. And of course, anything you do, the more often you do it, the easier it is, because it indeed becomes a part of you. And so that's why Paul says on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. So we give regularly. Well, we also give wisely. In Proverbs, we read in Proverbs 19, better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. God calls us to be zealous givers, to give and enjoy giving and freely give, but we are also called to be wise, to have knowledge, to know what we are giving to and how we are giving. Investigate organizations that are asking for you to invest in their vision to change the world. Some organizations are very good with their money. They are good stewards. I think of Compassion International. They use 80% of the giving towards the cause and only 20% towards administration and advertisements, marketing, things like that. 80%. And that's a pretty good number. If you go to several websites, they can tell you which organizations are best stewards with your money. God gives us the local church here at Mount Hermon Baptist Church as the central way of giving. God's plan to save the world is through the body of Christ embodied in the local church, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is what God has given the world. And notice, not all of our budget at Mount Hermon goes to us. We as a church, as a corporate entity, we practice what we preach. We give to other organizations. We've given to the American Bible Society, to OCIM, to Baptist organizations like the Yates Baptist Association. They go towards church plants, missionary endeavors, Roger and Vicky Grossman in Guatemala. As a Baptist church, we can use our collective zeal and wisdom to make decisions about faithfully giving. And that's why we voted on a budget this January, just a few weeks ago. With all the zeal and wisdom you have given to us, Lord, we give to you our hopes and dreams in the budget to be a light in the mission field. This is a prayer as you vote for the budget. The budget is the embodiment of our hopes and dreams and how we are going to give to the world. And so we set up budget items like a benevolence fund, or like GAs, or like a Hispanic ministry, because we believe this is our mission field. God has given us this land here to be the people, a light for our community. And so we give to our local church, Mount Hermon. And you can trust the offerings to Mount Hermon are spent faithfully. We have monthly business meetings, so you can keep an eye on us and make sure that we are spending the money faithfully. We've had a wonderful year of 2011 here at Mount Hermon, despite the many financial challenges that this little church has gone through as of late. We were able to shrink our income deficit from $23,000 to $3,000. And if we continue on that trajectory, then we're going to be a very rich church in a couple years. But we have been faithful and frugal, not just with our budget, but with our spending as well, because we believe what we say. We continue to struggle as a church, but we insist on being missionaries whether people give or not. We are going all in here at Mount Hermon Baptist Church. We insist on being the church God has called us to be. The money will come some way or another. It may come from you. It may come from the person sitting next to you. But we trust God enough that the money is going to come. And we don't give because we want to cover a budget. But we insist that Mount Hermon will be a light in this community. Which brings us to our last point on how we give in light of Jesus. And I'm going to read this one verse again in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. It's a beautiful verse. It's a verse worth reading and memorizing, an easy verse to memorize. Starting at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. The life of Jesus here on this earth is the example we look to when we look to Christian giving. The God of the universe, we read in Philippians chapter 2, could have stayed in heaven on his throne and been very happy. But he gave that up to come down, to live amongst us, to become one of us. And not just to become a king among us, to live in palaces, but to walk dusty streets, to be a son of a construction worker or a carpenter, to make his time with a fisherman, to live amongst people like us, to give all that he was, even to the point of dying on a cross, the death of a criminal, of a terrorist back then. Jesus gave all. Jesus became poor not for the sake of becoming poor, though, but so that we may become rich. We receive the eternal life that God can now give through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, defeating death and the grave. God gives us his very spirit so that we can walk today with God within us, dwelling within us. God continues to give and will continue to give up through eternity, through the poverty of Jesus Christ. And so as we give, we look to Jesus as an example, but also as the one who gives us the power and the energy, the passion, the courage to give like Jesus gave. We start on this trajectory, wherever we are today, to give all that we can so that others may participate in the riches that Christ has given this world. Well, perhaps you haven't met this one who has given all, who out of his poverty has made us so rich in Christ. Well, I encourage you this morning to come forward and to meet this one who gives all that he is. Perhaps you are looking for a vision to capture your heart this morning. This vision we claim is here at Mount Hermon, the vision that Christ has given us to go into all the world and make disciples, a vision to help the last of these, the lost, the least of these here in this world. We want to embody that vision, and I want you to be a part of it. You can come this morning and become a member of Mount Hermon Baptist Church, where you commit to this vision and we commit to you. If you have any other decisions that you would like to make public before your family this morning, then I also encourage you to come forward during this last hymn of invitation. Please bow your hearts as we pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the many examples that you've given us in Scripture of those who have responded to your generous gifts in generous giving. Lord, we thank you for the principles that you give us throughout Scripture on how to give. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you give us if we simply ask. Lord, we take our zeal and our wisdom, our passion, and our knowledge, and we follow you faithfully in being the example of giving here in this world. Lord, I pray that the world takes note of Mount Hermon Baptist Church and its members this year as we give like no one else gives, Lord. Lord, I want to lift up this church to you, knowing that we can do nothing without your Holy Spirit. We ask that your Spirit continues to guide us along the path of discipleship as we learn to know Jesus better and become like Jesus. We pray these things in the one who gave everything, Jesus Christ. Amen. you go in the example of Christ, freely giving as Christ has freely given to us. Join me in hands as we sing around the sanctuary.
Thank you.